this morning is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Morena tfanau. Good to see you. Nice to see there's three people smiling. That's always a good start when you're about to preach, but that's okay. One of the things that in the Carson household we do is every Friday I send a text to the family chat. Happy Friday, it says. Always starts with Happy Friday. And then it says, usually I say that I've finished work and I'm really looking forward to sitting by the fire with a drink. Now, I need to forewarn you that I actually don't drink alcohol. Haven't done so for the whole of my life, and there's reasons which I'm not going to go into around that. But so then I go, Friday night, booze night, whoop, whoop, and find every emoji of a drink I can possibly find and send it through to everybody in our chat. So that means everyone gets it, including Elaine, and that's a Friday kind of a Friday thing we do. So we send it out and everyone gets it all at the same time. So if we, Dot, if we can start with the pictures, that'd be great. Yeah, and the next one. So if Paul was around and he wrote the book of Ephesians where we're going to talk out of this morning, he didn't have a group chat that he could send on his phone. So it's most likely that the book of Ephesians was one that actually went around to lots of different places. So it wasn't necessarily just written to the church in Ephesians, but it was probably, I think Paul would have loved a cell phone. I think he would have done, you know, he would have been maybe even more powerful than he was, sending out group chats to all the different churches, not having to send them with people, but he could send them out, Happy Friday everyone, Friday night, booze night, whoop whoop. But, so today we're going to look at a piece of scripture out of Ephesians chapter 5. But the book of Ephesians is kind of in two parts. The first part, kind of in half, first three chapters, talks around God's big story. And he talks around how being in Christ is the key to us living our lives, about knowing what it is to be adopted into his family, knowing what it is to experience the power of God, knowing what it is for Jew and Gentile to be joined together because they didn't like each other. Like, to be a Jew was to be special. To be a Gentile was to be the downcast, the lowly, the broken. I'm not looking at you in particular too, for any reason. And that's what it was, to be in Jew. And what Jesus said, actually, it's not just for a special people. My love is for everyone. And so he broke down the barriers and he allowed Jew and Gentile to be free together. It talks about unity with God, about being that new human, that new creation, and creating a new humanity, the church. And that leads us into the second part of the book. Sorry, that was a very, very truncated version of what's in Ephesians 1 to 3. And in the second part of the book, it talks around what is it like for us to live in a way as followers of Jesus? And lots of practical things. Now, I have to say that I find preaching from what Paul has written actually quite tricky. Paul would go, he goes all over the place and there's these depths of things and then he chucks things in and then there's bits of Old Testament and he kind of throws this great, but you get this big, amazing picture of the story of God within everything Paul says. And sometimes I get very confused with what he's trying to say and other times I go, oh yeah, that's clear, until I read a bit further and go, what the heck was that about? But that's okay, we'll get there eventually. So part of the second bit, it talks around imitating God. And Chris looked at that last week about the seven keys, which are great, I thought. Really, the great seven keys, what it is to be imitators of God. and what it means to be imitating God. It talks about walking in love. It talks about the standards of living. It talks about sexual immorality. It talks about being immoral. It talks about all those things that we shouldn't be doing. It talks about the things we should as well. And so as we gather through, it talks around what it means to be a church family, both Jew and Gentile. So there's these two things in this book that we've been looking at. And then one of the biggest things in that part of the book is around being the one God, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, one spirit. And it's all about being one. It's about being together. And so Paul is encouraging us not to see that the first part of the book was about our individual salvation and being called into a family. And the second part of the book is about how do we outwork this as family in being one together. And then later on in the book, it talks around how the Holy Spirit works in us and being having the armor of God. But we're going to take a little portion out of Ephesians 5, 15 to 20. Thank you, Prue, for reading that for us so well. But I want to go back to verse 2, which where Chris ended last week. And it says about what it is to walk in love. And I feel like this whole next portion of Ephesians is around, what does it mean to walk in love? And so, next slide please, Dot. And it says, be careful how you live, chapter 15. Be careful how you walk. Be careful where you put your feet, because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, go on, Dot, let's see the next one. Make sure your foot is on a firm foundation because you don't know how big the hole is that you're going to walk into. So it says, be careful how you walk. It talks about the age being evil, so we need to know that what we're doing. It talks about being wise. It talks about knowing that we are on solid ground. And it talks around in this imagery of going, be careful how you live, be careful how you walk. Because this day is evil, and I'm not suggesting that mud and big puddles are evil, but it was just a fun photo to hopefully help us along. What is it to be wise? Knowing to be wise is like knowing, having a true perspective of what's going on around us. Knowing actually that the world that we live in is not the world that we belong to. But we are in the world, but we're not of the world. So that we have the ability as followers of Jesus to live outside of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And that we know that we can make sound judgments, even though they may not make sense in today's world and today's logic, but they make sense when it's in God. And there's a gift of wisdom, and there's also just wisdom that we get. I remember as a young person, I may have shared this before, but as a young person, I prayed to God. I saw, Solomon prayed for wisdom. I thought, that'd be great. Let's have wisdom. So as a young person, I prayed for wisdom. Oh boy, that's a dumb thing to do, isn't it? How do you get wisdom? Like, there is a gift of wisdom that God gives us. But actually, we get wisdom by working through difficult situations often. And we get better and better wisdom the more difficult the situations get, and we learn to trust God in those spaces. So I think sometimes we think that being wise is just something that some people have got and some people don't have. But actually, I think it's something you can grow in as well. It is also something that God gives some people. Some people are just wise. You just look at them and they say really wise things and you think, wow, that's wise. That's really smart. I wish I was a bit like that sometimes. And it says, taking every opportunity, not squandering the moment, being aware of our surroundings to know that what it is that we are looking at and being in. So it means we can understand what God's will is, that we can make informed, wise decisions, that we can be free and clear to see beyond what's in front of our own eyes at times. And so we can be this people. And then it says, don't get drunk on wine. And it's interesting, isn't it? That sometimes we think of those, take my group chat text out of it. It says don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, or some versions say dissipation, or some versions talk about wastefulness. It's about wasting your life away being drunk on wine. But you know, so often, I do wonder, you know, what would the imagery be that Paul uses for our society here and now? What would he use if he was talking to you? So often we find, and I think Paul was probably talking to an issue in the churches around that time. It's most likely that there was an issue amongst the churches that people were getting drunk. Now, Paul doesn't have an issue with wine as such, but he does. He's pretty firm on drunkenness. So he says, don't get drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. But often, you know, it's this... the sense of, we talk about alcohol and the excesses of such, but also there are other things. And why do people get drunk? Why do people get intoxicated? Why do people go to those extremes in these sort of situations? And it's often, it's not so that you're wise and you can see clearly where you're spaced and so that you can stand on a firm foundation, but it's often so you can hide from the reality that you don't want to see. And we live in these excesses of all these things that we say, I want to deaden my ability to see. I want to deaden the feeling that I have in that space so that I can be, I can feel better myself, which is all about us. And it's not just alcohol. We use Netflix in the same way. And I don't know about you, but I don't watch a lot of biographical, is that, that's not even a word, is it? Biographies. Biographical, one of those sort of things. People's stories of people's lives. I don't watch a lot of those things because you know what? I tend to watch to escape. So I watch things as escapism. And I've had to realize that that's actually not that good for me long term. There's nothing wrong with any of the things that you watch necessarily, but it's often I'm finding that I use it as escapism, that I'm trying to hide and deaden my reality rather than facing it and trusting Jesus with it. And we do this in every form of excesses. It can be what we watch, about how we eat, about exercise, about medications, about drugs. It can be about many different things. It's because we're trying to deaden our reality rather than live in the fullness of what God has for us. And I'm not saying that that is the only reason you have a glass of wine at the end of the day. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about the excesses. It's because often what we're trying to do. I guess I also want to acknowledge that in dealing with our life and our life story, where we come from and our family of origin and our family history shapes hugely our ability to cope with life, and it does affect us. And I'm not saying that simply it's a very simple thing just to stop one thing and everything will be happy and sweet. I'm not saying that at all. But it's interesting that Paul says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Next one, Dot, please. And it's interesting when... It's like it's that fullness of God. It's being absolutely full of God, so full of God, that is the thing that shapes the way we see our world. That's the thing that shapes the way that we have a firm foundation and know where we're putting our foot and the way that we go. That's the way that we see the clarity around what God's will is for us. Being filled with the Spirit. That word filled is a continuous present tense of the word. So what it means is that you are being filled not just once, but is being filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled and filled on a daily, on a regular. One of the things, one of the most common prayers I have when I wake up, Elaine is already up and out of bed, and I'm lying in my bed. One of the first things so often I pray is, God, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit today so that I can be the man of God you want me to be today? Would you fill me afresh? And, you know, sometimes I feel nothing. Sometimes I feel sense of peace. Sometimes I feel other things, but mostly I don't feel anything. And that's okay. It's about my heart's cry to say, God, I want to be full of you so that I can be the person you want me to be in the spaces that you found me, that I find myself in. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came in the sense of a dove. When they prayed in the upper room around Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came like fire. And it's like the Holy Spirit isn't a formula. He is a person. And he comes sometimes in peace, but sometimes in fire. And when he comes and he moves in us and stirs in us, it's not always a comfortable thing in the sense of it takes us out of ourselves in some ways. But it is a sense of God being amongst us and being full amongst us. My first experience of a sense of that overwhelming presence of the Holy Spirit in my life was I was about 12 and we were away at a camp and we had talked a little bit about what this looked like. There was discussion around the different scriptures around what happens when the Holy Spirit came on people in the New Testament and around what it meant of people prophesying, of people speaking in tongues, of people having words of knowledge, about people having words of wisdom, about people being able to interpret tongues. So there was a whole big discussion around what that looked like. And my friend next to me said, oh, I'd really like to speak in tongues. And I says, well, just ask God for it. Here was me, a 12-year-old, telling another 12-year-old, well, just ask. naivety at its best. And he so wanted it. And so these our youth leaders just came and just said, do you want me to pray for you? And he said, yes. And so they just put their hand on his shoulder and they just invited the Holy Spirit to come and fill him. And he said, I was so frustrated that nothing happened. I spoke in French because that's what he was learning at school. So he jabbered away in French and anyone else, I didn't know French, so anyone else thought, oh, that's cool, well, look at that. But it's true in the sense that it's not the expectation of having to speak in tongues or having to prophesy, but it's about inviting God to do what he wants to do. And it was at that camp, and I don't think it was that actually particular time, it was at that camp the first time that I spoke in tongues, and the sense of being able to speak with God in a language that was God-inspired. Because you can't pretend. Like, you can't make this stuff up. But it's also true that wasn't what was the same for other people. Other people said they just felt this great sense of peace. Other people felt nothing. And that's okay. It's not about, I don't think, it's not about what shows, it's about inviting God and having an attitude of what God to have in the fullness of who we are. I mean, it's interesting in Acts 19, Acts 9, and also Acts 8, where people laid hands on people to pray that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's like it seems to be one of those things in the early church and through Acts that laying on of hands, there's something about allowing somebody else, humbling ourselves to allow somebody else to invite God to come and fill us. And I think there's something really powerful in that. In Romans 8, it talks about being led by the Spirit. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I got that wrong, but you know what I mean. There are gifts of the Spirit. And as we invite God to fill us, it's a supernatural thing. He's the living God. That actually we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. We are the dwelling place of God. Therefore, the way we live our lives is important. Therefore, we can expect God to do miraculous things through us. And often our expectation is so low in that space that we don't see anything anyway. And that's kind of okay in most places. But out of being filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul then goes on to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So if you were here a couple of weeks ago and I did this, what would you say? Ooh. Harp, ha, lay, loo, try again, ha. Very good. Thank you, Thomas. And it leads to praise. It leads to, talks about stringed instruments. It talks about singing. It doesn't talk about pianos, but we put it in there because that's what we use, and I thought Matt would be offended if I didn't put one in there. But being full of God means that it can't help but overflow into a sense of praise. By being full of God, we become God-focused rather than self-focused. You know, when Jesus came and he said, "Oh, you got to be quiet. Don't, you know, stop the people from praising you." He said, "Even the rocks will cry out." There's something about the presence of God. There's something about the fullness of God that praise will come from our lips. You know, it's interesting. You know, I just looked at the whole thing of Psalms is about what's in Scripture. You know, some people will only live, if it's not in the Bible, I won't do it. But they drive their car to work. But anyway, we won't go there. You know, if it's only in the Bible, that's, and I'm not knocking the Bible, please. You know I love the Word of God. But these Psalms that are already written from in Scripture, there are hymns. You know, some of the hymns were taken from the songs out of the pub, out of the hotels, and they changed the words to redeem them to be songs of praise to God. So they were kind of man-created. And then it talks about songs of the Spirit. Songs that I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where all of a sudden someone has just been led by the Holy Spirit to sing out praise and honor to him without any practice, without any writing it down, and they just sing. Because it comes out of being full of God. It comes out of a sense of God overwhelming them in that space, and it's always for the good of other people in that space. So psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Being full of God always results in praise and adoration of our Creator God. So this morning, I guess my challenge is what is God challenging you about in the way that you see your world? What is God challenging you about in the sense of, are there any excesses in your life that you use instead of trusting in Jesus? And what does that look like? And when was the last time you felt so full of God? You see, Brian Zan says in his book, When Everything's on Fire, he says, we can't live on experiences, we can't live on encounters with God, but unless we have a sense of an encounter of God at some stage, you lose the ability sometimes to be able to see past your own space. And he says having an encounter with God is actually really important, but it's about the invitation rather than the outworking of what that looks like. And so I ask the question, what does it look like for you? When was the last time you actually asked somebody? See, we're not very good at this, are we? When was the last time you asked someone to pray for you, not for a pain or a hurt or an issue you've got in your life, but just to have more of God in your life? Because I think it's just as relevant. So today, that after communion and as communion, I'm going to invite any of you who would like someone to simply pray that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Julia and the team will be out the back behind Elisha's drums, and just go and ask. Say, "I just pray for this." If you've got other prayer needs, they'll certainly pray for those things. So don't not say something just for that. But if there's something, I'll hang out the front here as well. If you just want someone to say, "Actually, I'd love someone to pray for me." See, it's the humbling of ourselves to say, "Actually, I know I need God." So that as we walk, in the careful way that we walk, not out of fear, but out of honor of the one who we choose to serve and follow, as we choose to serve and follow Jesus. So I give you that opportunity to just ask. if you feel more comfortable, ask the person you're sitting next to. It doesn't take, it's not magic. It's not take the magic people. It's not the important people. That's irrelevant. It's about getting someone to pray for you that will say, actually, I actually want more of God in my life. Because I don't know about you, but I do. I want to be full of God. And I don't actually understand what that means sometimes, but I still want it. Because I want to follow him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. Thank you that you encourage us. You encourage us through your word to be full of you. You encourage us to live in a sense of wisdom and grace. You want to see us thrive and be full. You want to see us overcome this world of evil that we see. You want to show us what it is to be able to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and not fear. So we ask, would you fill us now? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might be the men and women of God that you've called us to be? That you would allow us to see in the way that you see, to feel in the way that you feel, to know something of your heartbeat. In Jesus' name I pray.